Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. I would like, before we pray, read us a word from the prophet Ezekiel, from chapter 12, from verse 21. Ezekiel, chapter 12, from verse 21. May I ask that we stand up for it. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, Thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For there shall be no more any vain vision, no flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Let us pray. Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, before you we bow in the dust and in the ashes. We submit under your mighty hand, under your word, under your working, under your speaking, under your doing. Beloved Lord, let us today find grace before you. Cleanse us all from all sin, from all unbelief, from every doubt, from every deed, from everything what cannot stand before you. We believe in the power of your blood, in the power of your word, in the power of your spirit. We believe that you manifest it now in our midst and in our hearts. We may proclaim the victory of Calvary as a divine victory in our midst and in our lives for the glory of your name. Faithful Lord, give grace to speak and grace to hear. Take away from us all thoughts which could hinder us, O Lord, that we would now be fully busy with you, with your word, O Lord, and that the outward world would be left outside. Lord, make us still, very still, and speak thou with us. I thank you that we may live in a prophetic time. You will make an end to all human Proverbs. You have spoken. This we believe with all our heart. We heard it and we received it. We are only interested in the thus saith the Lord. What people say is invalid, but what you have said will be fulfilled. Worship and honor be unto your holy name. We ask you, sanctify now the whole atmosphere. Sanctify our hearts in your presence, so that everything would be subject to you, and that you would come to your right. Save the lost, heal the sick, comfort those who are sorrowful and sad, straighten up the bowed ones. O Lord, may it be a meeting with you that we will not forget. Bless with us all who will hear this service in all tongues, peoples and nations. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We will look at some scriptures. Firstly, a few words to Ezekiel 12. I believe that all know that we live in the end time, and that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes. And when we think here on the word of Peter, he writes, at the end of days, mockers will come on the scene and ask, where is his promised return? Also, this word must be fulfilled. Here we read, at that time they said in the land of Israel, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. This was a pity that in Israel it was spoken like this. This displeased the Lord, for he knew when the time comes, then all prophecies will come to fulfillment. For every word that came forth from the mouth of God can never be taken back. It remains true forever and must be fulfilled. Therefore, the Lord God commissioned the prophet and said, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. Let us refer this word to the Church of Jesus Christ, to the spiritual Israel. Sometimes we too find ourselves in an intellectual reflection and ask, perhaps even close to unbelief, how long will it still take? For how long we still have to wait until certain prophecies in the scripture are being fulfilled? God will let happen everything at the right time. There is a wonderful hymn, Jesus is never too late. He watches over his word to fulfill it. At that time, our Lord said, my hour is not yet come, but your time is always ready. For everything what happens in the kingdom of God, time and hour must come so that it can happen. Therefore, at that time, the disciples asked the Lord, "When will this happen?" And his answer was, "You have no need that you know time and hour, for no one knows it. But one thing we know, that the time of God and the hour of God comes for every word of God." This is enough. If we know this and carry it in our hearts and count with the fulfillment, then we will be part of it when Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. It continues here, "I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand when every prophecy will be fulfilled." What shall we say to it today? The same what was said then. The days are at hand of the fulfillment of all Bible prophecies. And then the confirmation that comes after it says, "For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel." What God says is, "Thus saith the Lord," always true. It doesn't need any correction, no addition, no interpretation. What people often say in the belief that God said it, they must afterward correct themselves and apologize and so forth. We, as children of God, have a right to it, to hear the truth and nothing but the truth. And the truth is God's holy word and will remain it forever. As we emphasized it many times, not the interpretation of various things, but the word itself. Here it continues, "For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged." Here I think on the word in Revelation 10, verse 7. "There shall be no more delay." One can use the same word postponement or delay. In any case, when the time comes, then God starts to act. Then the waiting has come to its end. Then it is being fulfilled. Then it takes place what God has said. Let us read on in John chapter 16 and keep in mind the word which we just read now from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 12. John chapter 16, verse 4. John 16, verse 4. "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." For me, this word is very precious. In the prophet Ezekiel, we read that the proverb in Israel was that the prophecy is delayed. One doesn't see its fulfillment. What shall happen now? And then God intervenes and says, speak to the people. All that, what I have said, this I will also do. And here, in the New Testament, we are pointed to it, that we, at that time, when these things take place, that we shall remember that the Lord foretold it already. He foretold all things. Everything runs according to the divine plan of salvation. And please keep in mind the saying, when the time, when the hour of fulfillment comes, amen, when the time of fulfillment comes, and we live amidst of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. But when we clearly say that the Lamb of God is still on the mercy seat, and that Christ as High Priest still mediates for us, then we say with it the absolute truth. If somebody comes to you and says that the Lord in 1963, when the cloud descended on the 28th of February, left already the mercy seat and has triggered with it already the first phase of the rapture, then this is absolutely not correct. Never, ever, never, ever. Where is the amen? If the Lord would no more be on the mercy seat as High Priest, what do we actually do then here? We can thank God that there is still the time of grace and that He has mercy on us and that the calling out was not fully done yet and it didn't come to its end yet. Just the contrary, I dare to say the call is still to come. At this time, enough have been called out so that a platform could be established that this message can be carried into all the world. On my writing desk in the office, there are two letters. They both concern Nigeria. And a man who arranged for Osborne, for Roberts, for the greatest man, he arranged the things. He writes me and says, I have recognized that you have the message of God for this time. And we rent in three cities, the largest football stadiums. And I guarantee you that in none of these three cities will be less than 100,000 people. God turns a new page. The time comes and you will experience it, that this divine message will reach the people of God. Where the beginning of this breakthrough will be, I don't know. But one thing I know, God had in everything a purpose. He has set forth a time plan after everything runs. And we have patience. And in that moment where He wants to set us in, we will be ready without letting us be entangled into all the other things. No, God is still on the throne. That's how the song goes. And everything is subject under Him. Hallelujah. This must become a divine reality in us. This must become a part of our life as believers. Christ in us, who has overcome already everything. And He waits until all the enemies are made His footstool. I probably have written it in this new brochure that will be shipped now at this weekend with a title, It is Written. There I set forth certain things and I hope that this brochure will become a blessing to you. It's really about to to bring everything into a 100% biblical line. All our thinking, all our doing, our acting and walking, that everything runs divinely, so that the Lord can confess to us and to His Word. For the whole world is waiting for it. And I really must say, not only because it is written, but because it is also like this in my heart. More longingly than the watchmen wait for the morning, I wait for that the Lord arises and that He stretches forth His arm, that the nations see it and that they humble themselves under His mighty hand. We can come with the greatest speeches unless the hour of God comes, but I just believe it's near. And I don't know whether you can remember it, but 1976, I made the correction at that time, and I wrote, the year 77 will come and go. And then I somehow know there will be a time. I over and again felt in my heart, if the year 87 should still pass, then attention, for what comes afterward, I don't know anymore. I'm ready for everything, and I count with it that God shortly intervenes. I cannot determine it, but I just count with it. After all, we read that for everything, the certain time must come, the hour must be there, so that certain things come to fulfillment. I am not a prophet, and I will never be one. But the message that we carry is a prophetic message that includes the whole man, the full salvation, the full gospel, the absolute truth about Godhead, about water baptism, about all the mysteries of the Word of God as they were revealed. It was probably on Thursday or Friday. There had to be a longer conversation with one of the main preacher of the Christian Church of the Pentecostal movement in Germany, because some of the church believed the message, and he also received the brochures. And via telephone, we briefly touched upon the subject of the Godhead. And I just repeat what he said at the end. Brother Frank, with this I didn't count now. For everything what you said is biblical, and in this way I also believe it. People were led astray. They are told that they are Jesus only people and so forth. No, and again no. We don't believe that Jesus has begotten Himself, or that He spoke to Himself, or prayed to Himself. No, we believe that God in Christ has made the beginning of a new creation of sons and daughters of God who will live with Him eternally. Oh, when I think about it, this mighty revelation that God has given us here, it's the revelation of all revelations. And the people will entangle themselves. God will take care for it. For the truth, as we said, will have the victory. The climax has a brother made who was not very educated. In any case, in an hour of giving testimonies in a Pentecostal charismatic way, a man is called and he should give now the main testimony. And there are people who can do this in a very good way. He comes to the front and says, I just come now from a very old-fashioned prayer meeting. Prayer meeting. And all the people are looking, hearing. And then he suddenly says, this old-fashioned Bible hour was made up of us four. And the people were still listening. And then he says, present was the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and myself. This a man has to imagine. This is almost blasphemy. Yes. So far the people have come. They think to do God a service. A second time, I hardly could repeat such a thing. Just look, also this God has showed us in his word. When it is written in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 28, that everything will be laid under his feet, and then the Son will be subject to him who has put all things under him. And then it says, and then God will be all in all. There it doesn't say, and then the Father will be all in all. Oh, if you can place this once in the right way, where these words, these terms, these connections belong, oh, then we all jump up. Then we all begin to jubilate and to rejoice. Then something goes on. Then there's revelation. And what did Brother Branham say? In one of the seals it is written, and do not hurt the oil and the wine. Oil, a sign, a symbol to the Holy Spirit who reveals, who seals and so forth. And wine, a sign for the stimulation to that what is being brought forth by revelation. Beloved, it must overwhelm us anew of all what was revealed to us. And the most wonderful revelation is and remains the revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Like everyone else, I can read in John 14, then we will come and take dwelling with him. This I can also read if it's about the titles. And listen closely now. If it is about the titles, then we find them over and again in the Holy Scripture. There is written Son of God. Here it is written Father. Here it says Holy Ghost. There are the various titles and designations rightfully in the certain context. But when the Lord Jesus, as Son of Man, speaks of the Father as the firstborn among many brethren, yes, and then says, the Father and I will come and take dwelling in him, then it doesn't say that then two will dwell in him, but then God dwells, who revealed himself in Christ in this redeemed person. Hallelujah, praise God. The words are missing to me to make all this clear as I see it in the Spirit. But I feel already that the Spirit of Revelation is amongst us. Hallelujah. Praise be to the living God. And I hope that it goes on like this. So here, in the Gospel of John, it's about the hour of fulfillment. And if we consider that already then they misunderstood what the Lord Jesus said and what Paul said, then we should not marvel today if it is being misunderstood what all the servants of God ever said. I would like to give one comparison because we are in the Gospel of John with John chapter 21. John chapter 21, 22 and 23. Here it is written, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Do we see how quickly misunderstandings can come up? If one interprets the own thought into that, what the Lord has said, the Lord didn't say he will not die. He only said, if it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to thee? The Lord wanted to say with this, I decide and no one else. But among the disciples, the saying went around, this disciple, referring to John, does not die. If one goes one step further, then he was the only one of all the disciples and apostles who had the privilege on the Isle of Patmos to see the Lord and the coming of the Lord in glory in such a way as he was shown on the Mount of Transfiguration before the eyes of the three disciples. John was the only one. Even that, one could say, Brother Branham has done it in one place. He referred this statement that Jesus intended to keep John as the last one, to then reveal unto him the last things and to show it to him. So it is anyway right, whether we take it from this side or from that side. If it is right with us and with God, then it's always right with us and with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. This simply belongs together. And I hope that both applies to us by His grace, that we on one hand agree with God and on the other hand then also agree with the Word. In 2 Corinthians, it is written, as we all know, this word, that the veil is upon all who read in it. And also here, I would like to briefly go into it, to this thought of the scripture that is being read. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Amen. Yes, how in Christ? In Christ, how we imagine him? No. A person who wants that the veil of the Old and New Testament is being taken away from him, that neither Old nor New Testament is covered or remains veiled. He must see Christ as Paul describes him in the next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here it's written in verses, yes, we can read verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see what's all about? Who is the image of God? God is spirit. God needed a shape, and he came into this shape In the Old Testament, it was Yahweh. In the New Testament, it is Jesus. For Yahweh means Yahshua is Savior. One and the same Lord. There's only one Lord, only one faith, and only one baptism for Bible-believing people. I read on. Here it says, in verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Is this not a wonderful word? God said, "Let there be light," and it was light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Whoever wants to hear God and whoever wants to see God, let him look on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He not only said, "He who sees me sees the Father." He did it that way. Amen? Amen. Oh, where's the amen? That's how it was. That's how it is. He who sees me sees the Father. How can you still ask, "Show us the Father"? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? Don't ask me to explain this to you. The word shall not be explained. It shall be preached. And God reveals it to every individual. If the Bible says God was in Christ, then I say amen. And when the Bible says Christ is in God, I say also amen. I always say amen to every word of God. Whether I look on it from the right or from the left, it's always right. It just has to. As we said before, it has to be looked at from a divine point of view, without any self-interest. And only then the preaching is a pure divine preaching. When it is not made fit to him who preaches, not made fit to another man, not made fit to a denomination or a church. If he who speaks in the name of the Lord is not responsible to anyone but only responsible to God, that God comes to his right through his word and speaks to all of us. And I honestly admit, very humbly, such a man I want to be. I have nothing to defend what would concern me or some church or denomination. But I want to say, like Paul said, that he was ordained to defend the truth from God, to testify of the truth. And he requested his co-servant Timothy and Titus to hold fast to the sound doctrine. And he says, "Which you received from me." There is a doctrine that makes sick, and many people even vomit. But there is a doctrine that makes healthy. It makes perfectly well. And I tell you which doctrine that is. The doctrine of the word. He sent his word and made them well. Amen. God will send his word very mightily. Don't you worry. Many got sick because they received corrupt doctrines via a perishable food, and the alarm is raised immediately. When the Rhine River is a bit polluted, then all the people should be attentive. And with Chernobyl, the whole world is warning, caution, caution, because of this earthly life. But in the spiritual realm, what is there? Where the voice is raised, there everything is so contaminated, so corrupt, and there we shall not raise our voices in the name of the Lord our God. We raise the voice for the truth, with the truth, for all who are of the truth and who will walk with the truth until the Lord comes. And the Lord most certainly comes. Oh yes, sometimes it comes over me. But also for this, one has to wait for the time. On my inside I rejoice, not with a malicious joy. I wished that all people would be saved. That's how it is written in Timothy. It is the will of God that all men are saved and should come to the knowledge of the truth. Likewise, not all men accept salvation. And so it is also now with the biblical truths, with the proclamation that includes the whole counsel of God, that the people either right away do not accept, or later on, after they received it, they again get confused and go astray, and they eat all sorts of things, and they do get sick. And people can testify of this, who made a visit here and there, and come together with people who in this way were treated, quote, unquote, who were bullied with all sorts of perishable things. If these brothers would know into which trouble they bring precious souls, then they would remain at home. They wouldn't make any journeys. I'm not speaking of us here, but of them who spread corrupt doctrines. God's people did not deserve to be misled. Just the contrary, if there was ever an hour of truth on earth, then this hour is now. And if there was ever a time of the preaching of the whole counsel of God on earth, then this time is now. There was never a time like this one now. And this because we live at the end of days, and we know that God has promised these things for this time. After all, it's not about you and about me, but so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Also this I've said here recently. If one would only mention the ministry of Brother Branham without referring to the scripture or scriptures, then everything would be all right. But in the moment where one places a thing upon the biblical foundation, then the people have to make a decision, and this they don't want. They always want to have a back door open, that if possible, they want to escape somehow. No, we are grateful to God that we can and may place everything upon the biblical foundation. Another foundation does not exist that will last at the return of the Lord. Also this you can look up. John was asked, "Who art thou?" And he has these three questions. He answered nicely. And he says, "I'm neither Christ, nor Elijah, nor that prophet." And then came the question, "Why do you then baptize, if you are neither this nor that?" And then he gave the answer, "I am the voice of him who cries in the wilderness." There in the prophet Isaiah it was written, "Behold, a voice cries in the wilderness." Here stood the man. Here stood the fulfillment in a bodily shape. And he says, "I am this voice that cries in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way for the Lord." And already the thing stood on a biblical foundation. And if I would ask today someone, as the scribes asked then, why do you then baptize? Now I ask you, where was it written in the Old Testament that Christ would baptize? Where was it written in the Old Testament that John would baptize? Where was it written? I go even one step further. Where is it written, what can be found again in 1 Corinthians 10, that Israel in the Old Testament was baptized into Moses, that is, in the sea and in the cloud? Where do you find this in the five books of Moses? You all know the Bible very well. Do you see the wisdom of God? God catches the wise in their craftiness and brings the thoughts of the wise to naught, to that what is nothing, to bring it onto his track. I choose on purpose the word track, to bring it on his track. John could then say, he who sent me and commanded me to baptize, it is him who told me, on whom you see the Spirit descending, it is him who baptizes with Spirit and fire. God can announce a commission and doesn't have to list all the details at all. It is enough when one recognizes the commission of God and then goes with. And then the Lord says, blessed is he who is not offended at it. The scribes had their own interpretation. It should be this and that. You don't do this, therefore you cannot be the one. You see, we are so grateful to God for the whole Old and New Testament. If Paul, for instance, says in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 51, we shall not all fall asleep, then I certainly cannot ask him in heaven, Paul, what did you say there? You said we. You included yourself. We shall not all fall asleep. But you fell asleep long time ago. Why did you say this? Oh, Paul would say, this I didn't say of myself. The Spirit of God spoke through me, and the Lord bridges all church ages. And already in the present tense, he spoke already for the last generation, for the last church age, in which people will live on earth, who will not see death, but who will be changed, and together with them who resurrected, they will experience the rapture. You see, God doesn't give the answer to the people as they would like to have it. He does what he pleases, and this just makes me happy. And it's even nicer if we have part in his doing. Also, this is a very important scripture. It is written in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, that as certain as we believe that God resurrected Christ from the dead, so certain he will bring with him those who fell asleep. If somebody tells you, the Lord has left already the mercy seat, he is already in the first phase of his coming, so he is already on his way to descend. What shall we do with this? Nothing. And therefore we leave it aside, and we just wished that we once more can speak with all those who were led astray and who have been made fanatics and who brought reproach and shame upon the messenger and the message. In the end, God will stand highly exalted. He will glorify himself in his own, for the sons of God will be manifested. That's how it is written. God will manifest himself in power. And when we can read that the Lord will bring those with him who fell asleep, then this is enough for us. And I don't want to make fun of it here because it is so sad. But if the Lord would take so many years to deal with this first phase of these three phases and then would be already on his way, how many years would he then still need until he would have reached the last phase? No, we distinguish very clearly by the Spirit of God, with God's help, the wake-up call goes forth now. And the Lord doesn't come in the wake-up call. He also doesn't come in the voice. He also doesn't come in the trumpet. He only comes after the shout has come forth, after the voice sounded, and after the trump of God sounded. Only then he comes, and not earlier and not later. And this coming is connected with the resurrection of those who sleep in Christ, and with the changing of those who are alive in Christ, and with the rapture into glory. Not a discussion here and there, but with the greatest event in this generation. Amen. Praise be to the living God. Either I speak too loud or you too silent, or whatever may go on here. I am overwhelmed about God's word, about everything. Also about that the Lord has kept us in his grace and in his word. About the testimony, Brother Graf just said very loud, Amen. I don't know whether you heard it there, but he just returned from Poland and he can report some things of what was instigated there. People can no more correct in their lifetime. Only God alone can make the damage well again that people have caused, who themselves have corrupt minds and cannot place the divine events, neither the Holy Scripture of the New or of the Old Testament, nor the sermons of Brother Branham. But thanks be to God that the truth is breaking new ground, and in the end it will have won the victory. Let us summarize. God does all things according to his word at his time, but he also does it the way he intended to do it. Not in your and not in my way, but according to his way. And with this we agree. Amen. We totally agree. We just say, do it, Lord. Do it as you intended to do it. This reminds me on the first miracle that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And then the miracle took place. Always holding fast to that what he has said, and then everything goes well. And we stick to the word of God that, as we said already, that remains forever. And in the prophet Ezekiel, we read about the proverb in Israel at that time. The prophecy is coming to naught, nothing happens. Everything is delayed, and then the Lord puts his foot down and sends the prophet to the people and let's say, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand when every prophecy will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And again, amen. Not what people speak about prophecy, But the moment of fulfillment is important for us. And we understood that we have become a firm part of that what God foretold in His Word and what He announced. We may hear in this time what the Spirit says unto the churches. May the Lord God bless all His words on us, making them alive, letting them become flesh in us and through us, that we become a part of the Word, and the Word becomes a part of us, just as it was with our Lord, that one saw the Word coming to fulfillment on Him. So may the day come on which one could see the Bible prophecies coming to fulfillment, like on the people of Israel, so also on the church of the living God, that one could see them visibly coming to fulfillment. This would be my wish. And I believe that thus it will happen. Perhaps I make my sentences too long to not give you the opportunity to get it straight away. Otherwise, there should have come a loud amen. But right, the Swiss mentality comforts me. Time and again I hear, Brother Frank, only at the second time I receive the full blessing of the sermon. And this I would like to recommend to all, that we hear it once again. And then when nobody sees us and nobody hears us, then just rejoice about it with all your heart, no matter of what mentality you are. To me it's also hard. But the joy in the Lord, may it become our strength. He has given us light. He has given us His Word. He revealed it to us. He kept us on His way. And He will do it until the end. Worship and honor be unto His wonderful and holy name. Amen.